Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anytime Fitness is for real people with real fitness goals. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us aren't training for marathons or half marathons or even half marathons. Only time most of us are running at all is if we're trying to make a connecting flight. Wouldn't have been late if we didn't stop to buy a headphone dongle. Point is, you gotta be ready. You do not want to deal with rebooking. Anytime Fitness, where real people help you make real progress. Join today and get a plan for training, nutrition, and recovery.
At Enterprise, we know you're constantly on the move. Getting this.
Thanks, Mom.
Fixing that. You reach a destination. And then it's on to the next. And when life is moving at the speed of, well, life, Enterprise is right there with you. Around the corner and around the globe. We'll keep you moving forward. Enterprise. For lives in drive.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bases Loaded. Bases Loaded is a fantasy baseball podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. And tonight, I'm joined by George. I always want to call you Zach. George, you can follow him on Twitter at JMonsonS90. George, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? I'm doing pretty good here on this Friday evening.
I know, it's a Friday night. What are we doing with our lives?
Yeah, I mean, I'm finishing the rest of this Halloween candy that my kids got.
Yeah, see, you're late to the party. I finished mine like a week ago. I actually saved the Almond Joy for last because I really don't like them. So I finally got to that, you know.
Oh, man, that's the first thing that's gone. They already know to give me all the Almond Joy.
Oh, I know. That's why I made sure to mention it. But, man, you know, I don't know if you could tell. I sound a lot clearer today than last episode. It's been a interesting few days, to say the least, about the mic, man. So I thought it was just the USB cord that went down, right?
Yeah.
And I ordered two of them off Amazon, thinking, okay, in case one's not good, I'm gonna have two. So I'll make sure my mic's working when I get home from work today. Get home from work, first thing in the morning, I plug it in, doesn't work. I'm like, crap. Plug it in again, doesn't work. Just for it to be my mic, looks like my mic went out. So I said, you know, screw it. I went out and bought a brand new mic, brand new setup, and I absolutely love it. I feel like I sound crisper. You mentioned I sound a little clearer, cleaner.
Yeah, definitely.
The downside is it does pick up literally every sound, tapping and everything like that. So I have to be really mindful. But other than that, man, like, I'm super excited. It, like, added motivation today. And then, of course, I live streamed for the first time, which was very weird, but comfortable at the same time.
Yep.
And it's just, we have so much going on behind the scenes here, and it's nice to finally bring some of that out to light for people. So
it's all coming together.
Yeah, I mean, and with all that, we both find time to write. So I mean, I know you have some stuff going on, gonna be published at Fantrax soon. I got my JD Davis deep dive. I've published a few recent articles, one of which was a catcher preview. And lo and behold, episode 50, by the way, it's kind of a big deal. Halfway to the century mark already. But this
Right?
We were supposed to do something special. Ta-da! Friday night special.
You get catchers.
Yeah. This is a Black Friday special. that's the type of special you're getting. It's not a good thing. I guess Black Friday is a good thing. This is not the best special. Like you said, we're giving catchers out. We're going to be talking about the catcher preview as a whole. We're going to discuss our ranks, and we're just going to kind of see where it takes us. I mean, there's a few names right at the top. We'll get into it. And then from there, it kind of is pick your poison.
I know it's catchers, but hey, we're starting positional preview, so that's exciting. This is where the real, like, you know, 2020 prep starts right here.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe it is a little more exciting than we let on. I mean, it's for episode 50, we should have had a guest or something maybe, but you're right. Like, thinking about it, I mean, the crazy part is I honestly didn't think I'd be doing positional previews in November, but man, I feel like I'm behind by not doing them in November. It's crazy. Right? I feel like I can't catch up to what I need to get caught up on.
Everyone's starting earlier and earlier.
Maybe we're just crazy. Maybe it's because we are within this little industry now. Like, we are kind of seeing, like, the people we follow, people follow us. We're seeing how before Twitter, before I was an analyst, I had no idea there was so much so soon in the off season. I really had no idea. And this is mind blowing to me, man.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, that's all you can say, because, dude, it really is.
Well, yeah, before I got into this year, I was kind of in that mindset that, like, you know, baseball, fantasy baseball season doesn't start till, you know, January, February. That's when everything picks up. But then now, actually being in this industry, you see, like, oh man, if you're not prepping now, you're falling behind.
Yeah, like ranks. If I'll tell you right now, if I don't have my ranks done by December 1st, I'm going to be a little upset with myself, because that's when, I mean, by then we're going to be hopefully done with the positional previews, so they should be done. But regardless, like, if they weren't, like, I couldn't imagine trying to start December 1st. And then, you know, before you know, January 1st comes around, people are like, oh, well, baseball doesn't start until after the Super Bowl. Bull crap.
Yeah.
It's starting now, and it's crazy because there's two early mocks. There's the pitcherless mocks. There's just so much going on right now. It's insane. I just had no idea this was a thing, and yeah, it's kind of awesome. It's kind of made me push away all other fantasy sports.
I mean we even have drafts going on right now. You go to Fantrax right now, you can open up the lobby and there's best ball drafts going on right now.
NFBC launched their first draft and it filled, like, instantly. It was 100, right? Like, it was like $125 buy-in, dude. Well, that was a tangent. A whole nother.
And it's exciting.
It is. I think that's what it is. I think our excitement came out. It's like little kids, like, ooh, this is our trick or treating. Like this is our candy. So one last final thing right before we get started, and I do mean it this time. It's, I want to remind everybody, if you are interested, we do actually have a Patreon page, SP Streamer and Bases Loaded Podcast, who he's joined our podcast, and together we've come up with a Patreon page. There's options for all different levels of interest. Please go check it out. It's patreon.com/fantasybaseball. We offer draft services. We offer a whole slew of things. So I highly recommend it, but I'm a little biased. So check it out for yourself. Don't be afraid to join us today. I know it's a little early, but don't be afraid to join us today. That's patreon.com/fantasybaseball. Now we can jump into the news and notes.
Yeah, for sure.
News and notes. There's a few things I thought that were interesting. Wilson Contreras is a trade candidate for the Cubs. 27 years old, has a few years left of arbitration eligibility, and there's talks that he could be a trade candidate. I don't know what to think of that. That's not typical to see a catcher in his prime, albeit with injury history, possibly being shipped off.
Yeah, that is interesting. It's not something I expected to see.
I don't recall seeing a suitor or a potential suitor as of right now, but if he leaves, does Schwarber get a chance to get some catcher eligibility back?
Oh man, I have no idea. I do know that there's
Cody, maybe. I'm just thinking names now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Ooh, David Ross will manage and catch.
David Ross.
Might as well. Why not? That is the name of the manager, right? Like, I'm not losing my mind.
No, yeah, you're right. Okay. You got to think. I mean, if they end up, you know, trading Contreras, which I'm sure they can get a good haul for, you know, are they going to be in the market for someone like Yasmani Grandal or Wellington Castillo?
Speaking of Yasmani Grandal, there's so many moves, apparently. Grandal, you mentioned, he's apparently, the Reds are making a serious run at him. The Reds are going for it, man. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, if ideally you'd like to see Grandal stay with Milwaukee, But I mean, if he's going to go anywhere, the Reds would not be a bad option if you just think of the fantasy implications.
Exactly. That's all I think about, man. Like, yeah. that's all that matters to us. And that, I mean, regardless, if he stays in one of those small parks, I'm gonna have a hard time keeping him. Like, he's already top three. I'm gonna have a hard time between him and Sanchez. And I think Sanchez's ceiling keeps him there. We'll get to that, I guess. I don't want to talk about too much, but it's interesting, very, very intriguing. But the Reds aren't done there. They also have interest in Didi Gregorius. They apparently have real serious interest in him. Another guy. I mean, right now they have Freddie Galvis as their starting shortstop, so that's an instant upgrade. Yeah. And again, another guy that he's been so fortunate to be in Yankee Stadium that now he's going to go to another good ballpark that it's like his value. He might turn into a sleeper come draft season right now.
Yeah, I agree. You think of Didi Gregorius and like he was tailor made for Yankee Stadium. You know, he's a left-handed bat. He pulls everything to the right side. So, I mean, if you consider, you know, if he's going to leave Yankee Stadium, you know, Great American Ballpark is not a bad place to play. It was actually fifth in home run for park factors and home runs for left-handed hitters. So, I mean, that wouldn't be bad.
No, it definitely wouldn't be bad. That's why it's interesting. It's because he's coming off a down year. People were already down on him as it was coming off the injury. It's the makings of a great bounce back story and probably somebody you should probably be aiming at the end of drafts. Definitely somebody I'm going to have to reevaluate. We haven't gotten shortstop rankings yet, especially at Fantrax. We should be moving on to second base soon enough.
Yeah. But
once we get to shortstop, he's definitely going to be my top 30. But I know shortstop is extremely deep as well, so he would be no more than a middle infield type.
Right, exactly. He'd be a good middle infield option late.
Or utility. I mean, you never know how desperate you get. But as far as news and notes go, there's one more I found very interesting. The Phillies have shown interest in Donaldson. I like it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like it too. Again, he's another one that was in a great situation with Atlanta. You would think that, I mean, ideally he would stay there. But Philadelphia would not be bad. The thing about Donaldson is I almost feel like he's a trap for next year. Like, he's like, oh, he stayed healthy this year, this last year. He
just
stayed
healthy.
And yeah, you know, he almost feels like he's going to be a trap next year. I'm kind of scared on that one.
Looking at the roster resource page for the Phillies, I was about to say Kingery gets hurt from this, but Odubel Herrera isn't coming back, right? Like, he's not – He's a projected starter. That can't be right, is it?
Yeah, and then you got to think McCutchen will be back as well.
They have McCutchen slotted in actually already on roster resource as the as the leadoff for left field. But yeah. Odubel right now is slotted in center field. And if Herrera is good defensively, if I remember correctly as well. So Kingery, I think Kingery and Herrera would have to fight for that position if Herrera's on the field, because obviously Donaldson will play third, and Kingery, unless Cesar Hernandez or Segura suddenly have issues or something, but maybe Hoskins might gain some value. I mean, just another hitter around him that's gonna likely. I don't know, man. I'm so down on Hoskins. I'm trying so hard to be optimistic.
Yeah. I mean. Hoskins is actually a guy that I'm thinking could actually bounce back pretty good next year. We'll probably get into that when we get into first base. But I'm actually a little optimistic about Hoskins next season.
Oh, I hate you and your optimism. Because I ranked him higher than I truly believed because I'm banking on some form of a comeback, bounce back season. But enough about first base. It is time to get into this catchers. Now, I think I want to pull up my article, because that way I want to see how we differ in tiers as well, because I think that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a clear 1-2 top elite tier. I call it the elite tier. By the way, naming the tiers is the hardest part of coming up with this article, by the way. Like, writing my opinions and, you know, putting in the facts and the numbers and all that, easy. It gets difficult when I have to make up names for tiers. I'm like, I don't know. But no one cares about that. Elite tier, is it the same two guys for you? Do you include a third?
And you're talking about Real Muto and Gary Sanchez?
Yeah, I figured I'd let you talk about the names because I do all the talking usually.
No, I think that's a pretty clear one too. I think that was pretty much the consensus. Yeah, no, I mean, those are going to be the top two guys taken.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt. I mean, at least in my mind, there's no doubting those are the top two. Do you have it Real Muto and then Gary?
I do. Yeah, I do.
As do I. I think it's as simple as the fact that Real Muto, solid five category producer. And yes, he does steal bases. He stole nine last year. Solid batting average. He's just not going to hurt you. Whereas Sanchez, we just know he can't. He always hurts himself. He just can't stay healthy.
Right. So, yeah, and he's probably the only catcher who, I mean, regardless of which kind of baseball they use, can hit 40 home runs next season. And there's probably no one else that you can say that for.
And that's why he's still ranked second for me, because that's a difference-making stat from a catcher. It's really hard to – so I understand people that have him first. I just – we've seen the floor. We've seen him literally – on the floor in pain, but figuratively we've seen the floor in fantasy as well. It's like, guy can't stay healthy, guy hits for a low batting average, and that can be killer. And sometimes the power sometimes can be easily replaced, at least in my opinion. A lot of people think you need power to keep up. I think there's a lot of power to be had. It's a draft philosophy thing. Moving on to the next tier then, I have it as tier two, the next best thing essentially. And it has Grandal, Wilson Contreras, and Mitch Garver. Those are my 3, 4, 5. I should pull up your consensus rankings too, so we can just get through that.
But oh yeah,
might make it easier on me. But what are your, like? Did I miss? What's your 3 through 5? Or do? Let me rephrase it. Who would you put in that next tier? Basically, how many names and which names?
So in that next tier for me, I've got Grandal, Yasmani Grandal, Wilson Contreras, and Mitch Garver.
Oh, so we have, we're both 5 for 5, same three in the same three tiers, in the same two tiers. Yeah. I mean. All right, cool. Same order, 3, 4, and 5 in that same order?
Yeah, 3, 4, and 5, Grandal, Contreras, and Garver.
This is
boring. Now, I kind of want to get into Grandal here because he's very interesting. I almost want to lower him a little bit, and it depends on the format. And it also depends on where he ends up playing. Like I mentioned, you know, ideally you would like to see him stay with the Brewers, because a lot of his value comes from the volume, because of how much he played with the Brewers. He logged 20 games at first base in Milwaukee. Now, I'm not sure how many situations there are out there where they're going to give him that kind of opportunity. That's just kind of a little bit of a question mark. And then the guys behind him, Contreras and Garver, just showed in their limited time just huge power potential. So, I mean, I'm kind of iffy on Grandal at ranking him third. I almost want to lower him a little bit. Like, it kind of depends on where he ends up, though.
See, I'm the opposite. I actually love him, and I love putting him at third, fully confident in him. And I think, regardless of where he goes, he's going to be just so solid. He is what he is at this point. I understand the intrigue in Contreras, but Contreras is another one who we don't know where he's going to end up. Likely a contender. Not many people are going to trade for him otherwise. But he's also another one that can't stay healthy, and it's always a chasing that ceiling with him. Whereas we know Grandal feels like a solid, steady producer. You know what I mean? Just somebody you can depend on. And if it's OBP or points format, I actually put him in the elite tier. That's how much I
like. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. If we're talking about a points league, he's absolutely in the elite tier because of the tremendous gains he made in OBP. He was just amazing in points leagues this season. So, yeah, absolutely. If we're talking about points or OBP, he's right up there in the elite tier. And speaking of, you know, I was looking at Grandal's Fangraphs page. Happy birthday to Yasmani Grandal. Today's his birthday.
Well, by the time this is being posted, it won't be. But it's happy birthday, Grandal.
Yeah, which actually brings me to my next point I was going to make, is that he's also the oldest of this group. So, I mean, we've seen someone like Jonathan Lucroy hit a huge wall once he kind of got to this age as well. So that's also another reason that gives me a little bit of pause on Grandal. But he's still an elite option.
I feel okay in this tier. Although I'm not necessarily projecting it yet, I think this was where our first bust potential could be. Mm-hmm. And you know who I'm thinking of, right? Like, it has to be Mitch Garver. Like,
yeah.
Potential. There's bust potential. Now, I haven't actually watched video for the swing change, but there was a clear change in launch angle. For that, 3 straight seasons, it's actually gone up. And this year was at its highest at 15.3 degrees. And with it, and there's tangible change in that. And with it, he also, his K rate did increase a little bit, which I would guess suggests, you know, him being a little more aggressive. But his walk rate actually went back up this year from last, back to what it was in 2017, essentially. And I'm just not 100% sure what to make of him, man. I mean, looks like there's some tangible change there, but he's 28 years old, and he did what he did, 31 home runs and only 359 plate appearances. That's not
going to happen
again. That would put him on like a 50 home run pace.
Right.
I don't know. And he upped his pull rate like nuts. Like, he really went for the fences. Dude, the plate discipline's actually really good. Holy crap. The fact that he K's so much just means he can't make contact. But his O-swing is ridiculously good at 20.1%. League average, to give you perspective, is 31.6. So he's 10.5% better than league average on his chase rate, and he's 3% better on his swing strike rate. So it's his contact rates that are all no, not even. Dude, where are these Ks coming from? He doesn't swing a lot. Maybe he's just too passive, surprisingly.
It could be. It could be, yeah. Just the thing with him is, you know, like you said, like the track record, like he's 28 and, you know, 31 home runs in 93 games, you know, seems like it could be a fluke. You know, he's not going to maintain that pace. And then you don't know if he was a, you know, just a big beneficiary of the juice ball. But, I mean, the 273 average and the plate discipline with the good OBP as well, you know, 365 OBP. I mean, yeah, that's what puts him here in this number five here in catchers.
I'm just, like, I look at his, like, this is, I've looked at him before, but I must have forgot, honestly. I didn't realize how, like, he really, if he swung more, actually, he might actually do better, which is crazy because he did what he did, and it's just the reason why his Ks are so high is strictly because he's not aggressive enough. He must be watching a lot of strikes, because when you look at everything else, as far as like his other indicators, he should not have like over 20. He shouldn't even have over a 20% K rate. So I'm thinking it's strictly because even his contact rates are all, you know, league average or better. His,
yeah,
like I said, his other, the swing strike and the O swing, I'm just reiterating, were really, really good. Both better than league average by a good amount. It's just the swing rates are all below the average. So it just leads me to believe that that's why his OBP is good, because that's why his walk rate is solid too. League average is roughly 8%. I know that off the top of my head. And he's sitting at just over 11. So the walk rate's there, but the K rate doesn't belong there. It seems like a fluke. So I think there's a little give and take. I think he's going to be solid. I just don't know if I just don't know if I can buy into the price, because there's no track record.
Right.
It's the track record or lack of.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. But how high do you think Garver is going to be going?
I don't know. Catchers are weird, man. I've been in leagues.
Right.
I've been in leagues where it's like a catcher run in like the 7th or 8th round, and I don't want one that early. But then I've been in leagues where I've gotten Grandal like last year, like in 12-team leagues, I should say. I've gotten Grandal like in the 12th or 13th round because catchers don't go. I play in different leagues. Some leagues are sharper than others, and usually the ones with the sharper, you know, the sharper players. Catchers fall, kind of like in football leagues, tight ends fall. It's similar position. Like, people value like the high end ones. The top two will go early, like 6th, 7th round, maybe 5th round, even the top,
right.
After that, it's really, you never know. It really is draft dependent. You got to know your league if you can. If it's not a public league, you just got to know when you can. But I honestly don't see myself getting a lot of these guys, because we're gonna get into it soon. But the next five, I love. So that's another big reason why I'm just kind of avoiding these five. No way I can just grab one of these next five, probably closer to the end of my draft.
Yeah, exactly. If we're talking about, you know, at this point on, you're looking at, you know, deep into the draft.
Last thing about Garver, do you have any concerns? Is it what, Castro's backup catcher still over there? Nope, not Castro.
Is it Yeah, Jason Castro, right?
I thought it was. It's not. No, I don't. He must have maybe got let go or something. I know you have Astudillo. Oh, there's actually less competition for him other than Astudillo now. That's actually because it was. I'm pretty certain it was Castro, right? Unless I missed the part they dropped him or something. I don't know. I don't remember them letting him go.
Yeah, well, he's a free agent. Yeah. So he's a free agent. Jason Castro is a free agent. So yeah, absolutely. If they're not bringing Castro back, who did play 79 games here, you know, with the Twins at catcher.
That's a big deal, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's another thing. If they don't bring in, if they believe in, I don't know if Astudillo is going to be the guy there. I mean, I know that's kind of one of his positions he plays, but I don't trust them to play that many games at catcher. So Garver's value might have just gone up. You know what I mean? Like without that true secondary catcher.
Yeah.
It's worth monitoring, basically. All right, we spent enough time on him. Let's get back to this. So our consensus rankings, you have – I'm trying to, is this where we differ? Oh, it is where we differ. All right.
Yeah.
So, but not by much. We have the same. Oh, no, wait. We do have a big difference actually coming up. So, who's number six for you? We'll go with you, number six.
So, my sixth catcher in my rankings right now is Will Smith.
You like him more than me. So, if you want to speak on him, I have him at eight. So, we're not far off. You just like him a little more than me.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I like him. You know, he showed what he could do when he first came up, hitting 15 home runs. He's got tremendous power. He had a total of 35 home runs last season because he had 20 in AAA, another 19 the year before in AA. So, I mean, he's all about that power. You're not going to get a good average, that's for sure. But he's got power, and in that lineup, team context, I think he can, like, he won't kill you with the average. Like, he's not going to be like a Mike Zunino type of guy. But yeah, I think he's, with that upside for me, is what has him here at number six.
I'm like I said, I have him at eight because a lot of it's because of the average. I like guys a little more floor. And that's why I have Salvador Perez. Like, him coming off that injury literally does not worry me at all. And if that causes him to DH a little more or something, that's even better, because the guy gets abused behind the plate from the Royals. At least he used to, and he would play every single day. Like, the guy was, he probably needed a year off just to, you know, actually be better. But I have zero issues with him. I mean, I know he kind of sucked off an average that final season. Like, he traded average for power, but his actual XBA was, I believe, was like 20 points higher, surprisingly. So it's like he still should have hit like closer to 250, but put up like 30 home runs that season. So I'm not sure which one we're going to get, but regardless, I think there's a higher floor there than a Will Smith and a proven, and obviously a track record. And the injury he had, was TJ, where we've seen players, especially hitters, come back and be just fine, like Gleyber Torres. And for some reason, that's the only name that came to my mind real quick. So I'm sure there's others, plenty of others. Now, the biggest difference, I don't want to go pick my person by person. Let's see. I'm going to pull up the consensus rankings again real quick. Where are you? The biggest difference is where I think one of the bigger differences would be Carson Kelly. I have him at seven. You have him at 10. But the names I have him over are like Will Smith. Will Smith was one of the bigger names. And definitely Wilson Ramos, which we're going to talk about because that's probably our biggest difference. You have Ramos at 7. I have him at 11. And I was the low one consensus across the board out of all of us. And I admit, I even said it in my breakdown, I'm probably too low on Ramos. But we'll talk about that. But Carson Kelly, he just flashed such solid upside. And he ended the season on a rough note. But he just feels, I don't know. Like, I looked at him, it's like he's above average in hard hit rate, ex-WOBA, ex-slug. Like, his exit below is okay. I don't know. And just something about him. I just think he offers a little more upside at that point. I think it's one of those things where it's like I traded – the reason why I like him over Will Smith was because I traded the power for the batting average, because I always find it harder to come back in batting average than power stats. So it's like I feel like there's a little bit higher of a batting average floor, even though there's a little less power floor. Does that make sense? At least that's how I view them. Whereas, yeah. like you mentioned, Will Smith being – so that's my reason why I'm a little higher on him, Will Smith. And I think there's, again, there's upside there. But we can talk about the Wilson-Ramos difference. Why do you like him as high as seventh, which is where I have, again, Carson Kelly?
Yeah, so I have Ramos seventh for that kind of safety factor, just based on where we're at here and the rest of the names on the board. So Ramos, I mean, last season – kind of just gave you exactly what he's what you know he's always done. He hit 288, he hit 14 home runs. You know, 2018 he was 306, 15 home runs. And you know, this season he in this juice ball you know year he had a zero launch angle. That's crazy, a zero launch angle. You know, you got to imagine even if it was his career average is right around 4 degree launch angle or so. Every season, and if he had only been able to lift the ball a little bit more, you would think maybe you're looking at 288 with 20 home runs. But that wasn't the case. Now that, you know, even if his, I'm just thinking, if he goes back to, you know, the way he was lifting the ball throughout his career, you're probably looking at right around the same numbers. So you're getting a really good batting average from the catcher position and decent power as well.
My big reason for being down on him, not only is it feel like I'm just chasing upside at that point, at this point in the draft. That's the thing. Like, okay, let me make sure I make this very clear. I ranked them this way because I believe they will end the season this way. But you do not have to draft my. You wouldn't have to draft at, like following my ranks,
right?
To get them, like you don't have to take Kelly seventh. He'll fall beyond that. He'll probably be like the 12th or 13th catcher off the board.
Exactly.
I'm just very, very confident in him finishing a top seven as a top seven guy. He's kind of one of those guys where as spring training comes around, he's one of the movers. This is the area where the movers are going to happen. People are going to move up. People are going to move down. I see this between 6 and 15, I see a lot of these catchers moving, and I'm sure you feel the same.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like it's a clean top, like a clear-cut top five right now, and after that it's literally – flip a coin, and whichever player plays better in spring is going to end up with the on the right side of the coin. But back to Ramos, my big thing is Ramos. It's Ramos. my big thing about Ramos is he's you know he's 32, so he's probably going to be 30. I don't know his birthday. I'm looking at the wrong page for that. He's probably going to be 33 at some point, either end of this year or during next season. This was his first year since 20. Oh, hello. See, hold your horses, man. You got to relax there. It was his first season since 2016 that he's had over 500 plate appearances. So 17, 18, kind of, you know, been dealing with injuries and whatnot. And just, I don't know, man. I mean, can he really hold up all of a sudden? Is that really, I mean, he's played 130 games. Again, last time he played 130 games even was 2016, and he's only done – that was his first time doing it in his career, played 141 this year. Plate appearances, career-high plate appearances of 524. You see my point? Like, how – like, do you – like, you're talking about like, – who was it before that you're speaking about possible decline? Which name? Maybe I'm
mistaken. Was it Grandal?
Yeah, you were talking about Grandal's age.
Yeah.
You're going to sit there and rank him – four spots lower, still in the top 10, and you're talking about a guy who's had the age and history concerns. That's where it's like, I'm like, I'm willing to pass on him and be wrong just to take shots on upside. That's why he's so low for me at 11.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, but you're looking at his stats. I mean, 3 out of the last 4 years, he's put up good production at the catcher position. So like 2016, he had 307 with 22 home runs. 2017, yeah, he was hurt. Was it the ACL he was coming back from?
I'm trying to remember, yeah.
I want to say it was his knee. It was like tore his ACL like at the end of the year with the Nationals. And then, so 2017 was just kind of a, you know, just coming back from that. And then 2018 is when he hits 15 home runs with 306. And then again, this year, solid production of 14. You know, runs in 288. So, I mean, for me, I mean, yeah, it's a fair point. You know, he's older, injury history, but he feels like one of the safer catchers as far as what you can expect.
Yeah, I can get behind the high floor. And usually, you know me, I'm all about high floor. I really am. But this is one of those positions where I'm chasing the ceiling because I want a difference maker. And he's not – I don't think he's going to be a difference maker. So enough about Kelly and Ramos. Ramos. We'll talk about Will Smith. This is, again, it's kind of like a – this is where the glob is because I think we're kind of similar in the names. Those were the two kind of standouts. Another one that kind of stood out was Jorge Alfaro, where I'm high – I'm the highest out of our consensus ranks. And I'm slowly moving him down, to be completely honest. Not a ton. Literally, I might flip him with Sean Murphy. That's pretty much where I'm at. And maybe Ramos. Damn, I did it again. Ramos. Alfaro? It's just hard to ignore, man. I mean, I know he's getting older, but I really like him. Every time I think I'm getting down on him, I go back and look at why I like him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I ranked him so high. Statcast darling, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a rocket arm, and he can hit the ball hard. But, I mean, that 4.7% walk rate and 33% K rate.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, 364 BABIP, and he hit 262 this season. I don't know. Maybe I'm not so optimistic as you on Alfaro.
I think the optimism comes from, like you said, how hard he hits the ball. I mean, 82nd percentile and hard hit rate, 82nd percentile exit velo. And he has sprint speed in the 90th percentile, which went down from 91st the last time I looked. So it's crazy because he stole four bases last year. So I'm thinking there's a chance for five steals, you know what I mean? Given 500 plate appearances maybe. And that's still an extra stat you can get from him. And his XBA was still 250. So it wasn't like he – and the fact that he has the sprint speed he has suggests he can slightly overproduce, you know, the batting average. Yeah, I know. And the ground ball rate, if I remember correctly, was absurdly high, like 52%. But, man, it's just like get a little more lift on the ball, and we're talking about easily 20-plus home run. I mean, he hit 18 this year.
Oh, yeah.
Another guy that – because he was hitting – that's the thing. His launch angle actually dipped four almost in half from 8.2 to 8.3 last 2 years, 4.7 this year in Miami. I'm just wondering if he can get that back to 8.3, are we looking at 20 to 25 home runs with five steals and a 250 average? That's really hard to argue that's not top 10.
He's got a 21.9% line drive weight. So that, along with that sprint speed, is kind of salvaging his batting average. Sure. But yeah, so like you said, if he could just lift the ball a little more, because with that 25% fly ball rate, I mean.
Well, yeah, the 52% ground ball rate, right? It's 52%.
Yeah.
Told you, it's ridiculously. Dude, that number stuck out. It was like 52.7, right?
Yes. It kind of,
oh, my God. It's imprinted. No, that's off the top of my head.
It is 52.7.
It's imprinted in my head because it stood out because of how bad it was. And now it's like, it's crazy. I feel like now I'm a true degenerate. The fact that I could just name his – the fact that I could just tell you off the top of my head what Jorge Alfaro ground ball rate is, that's scary. That's so weird. I hate myself. Go ahead.
I could see the potential. Like, I'm squinting my eyes. I could see it. Like, I could see the potential. Like, he only, you know, if he can just better his plate discipline a little bit, raise his launch angle. I mean, I could see, because, yeah, I mean, that sprint speed, you know, when you're hitting ground balls and line drives, that sprint speed is going to help his batting average. It's going to keep his BABIP inflated. So I could kind of see now why you're high on Alfaro. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's fair. And that's why I said I've been slowly coming down on him, because I realize I'm asking for too much skill change at this point in his career. Now, he is, I mean, 26 going on 27. He's only played – this is going on his fifth season, so it's not too late. We've seen – heck, Mitch Garver's 28, you know. We've seen late.
Yeah.
And it's the thing is like there's underlying metrics that suggest now – sorry, that suggests that, you know, he has the potential. It's just – a matter of him putting it together. Now, I don't anticipate the K rate to come down. He's obviously always been a high strikeout guy. I don't anticipate him to walk much. But in strictly 5x5 leagues, I think there's enough upside in the steal potential. The fact that 5-7 is a legitimate, you know, outcome. And then the fact that he hit 18 home runs in only 431 at bats. So and that was because he battled injury a little bit last year. You give him, you know, you give him a full 500 plus. You're looking at, seriously, I'd say a ceiling of 25 home runs, 7 steals. And 7 is a very, very high ceiling. Realistically, 4, because he stole 4 this year. So 4-5 feels like an actual, like, realistic outcome. So we'll say 20 to 25 home runs, 5 steals, and 250, which I think I said that line before. that's kind of what I'm thinking is like, and that even if that's a ceiling, that's so good for a catcher. That's top 10 for a catcher. So maybe I'm ranking, my problem is I'm ranking him where his ceiling is. And you know, I don't normally do that. I'm very anti that. And that's why I find myself moving him down.
Yeah. You're kind of looking at a, like a real Muto light, you know, if he kind of starts putting it together, but
very, very, light. Very light. Like he's holding Romuto's game bags and stuff. Yeah. That's the thing. So it's like, I'm ranking him high, but dude, you can get Alfaro. Like there's guys that were both lower on that. He's going behind like Christian. He's probably going to go behind Omar Narvaez and Christian Vasquez, stuff like that. And I don't want those guys. We're going to get to them shortly, but those are the types of guys he's going ahead of or behind, I think, right now in drafts, where I don't see why. But that's neither here nor there. We can move forward. Unless you had any other thoughts on them.
No, we can move on.
Yeah, we beat that. We're really good at beating stuff into the ground. All right. Well, that kind of covers the top 10. You and I are both lower than consensus, barely, as far as our fan. We're talking about the Fantrax consensus. If you guys are interested in following along with what consensus I'm speaking of, I'll throw the link somewhere, like probably on the iTunes or maybe under the Twitter of what we are, of where I'm reading them. But it's our Fantrax HQ. It's our analyst consensus rank. So, and when I say consensus ranks, that's what I'm speaking of. I just repeated that. That was stupid. Okay. Anyway. At 10, Omar Narvaez pops up ahead of Jorge Alfaro. Go figure. And you're part of that reasoning because you actually have Narvaez over Alfaro. I have Narvaez the lowest of us. I have him down at 15. That is, and I had to move him up. I had him down lower. Why? Like, do you think that he, like, what about his game are you buying into? Just the batting average, I would guess. That's the only thing that seems legitimate, honestly.
Right. So I do have him personally in my rankings. I have him 11 behind Carson Kelly. We're, like you said, we're at this point where it's like you're just kind of throwing stuff at the wall, you know? It's
single sticks.
Right. You know, see what sticks. And, you know, you're looking at, like you said, a good batting average. He's got a track record now, you know, the last three seasons hitting at least 275. The power, it kind of came out of nowhere this year, but just like with many others, you know, so we'll see if he was going to be able to sustain that. I do know that, you know, towards the end of the season, he was platooning with Tom Murphy.
Which is part of the reason why I had him move down. And he was going to be a big reason why I was going to mention him, but go ahead. Sorry.
So I kind of get that there. Looking at his first to second half splits, too. He hit 294 in the first half, then down to 254 in the second half. So he did kind of drop off there, went down from 14 home runs to 8 home runs. So power kind of, you know, was still there, but definitely dipped in the batting average in the second half. So, I mean, I have him 11 here, which is, you know, low end catcher one, you know, in 12 team leagues. Just kind of seems like, you know, you could bank on a decent batting average and hopefully the power can be sustained a little bit. I do know that he changed his swing last season, so, you know, to get more lift on the ball. So we'll see. At this point, like you said, there are other names that I do like better. I do actually have Sean Murphy over him and Carson Kelly because of, you know, the upside that you know, that they have there. And then, yeah, I'm kind of scared about, you know, the platoon situation there. We'll see how that shakes out.
Well, that's one of the big reasons. And if you look, again, we'll get to it later. But Sean Murphy, we all had it as a consensus top 25 catcher, which isn't terrible. He was at least 24th for me. And where was he? He was ranked pretty – yeah, he was 20. He was tied for 21st among our five rankers. So the fact that there's really not that much of a difference between him and his backup, that already threw up red flags. And then the fact that, again, platooning towards the end of the season, you kind of made my argument. Like, the only big thing, you go look at his StatCast page, and it would scare you off even more.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually looking at his StatCast page right now. So he did raise his launch angle from 2018 to 2019. He went from 13 degrees to 17.8 degrees. So, I mean, when you take that into consideration with, you know, the juice balls, you can see why he would have a fluke 22 home run season, because His exit velocity was 85
miles per that's hour.
Eighth, yeah, 85 miles per hour. That's eighth percentile.
And don't forget his hard hit rate was 27.5%, which was eighth percentile.
Yeah.
And those were both career highs.
Right. So, I mean,
I'm so down on him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Despite the effort to lift the ball more, which he did, you're right. If we're going into next season, you know, with a new baseball, and we're going to see power maybe, you know, diminished a little across the board. Yeah, Navarez, he's probably going to be someone that I lower in the rankings.
Yes.
But just, yeah, I'm probably going to move him down a little bit. It's just hard because you look at the names come, you know, after, and it's like,
no, I'll show
who
you.
The hell, who deserves to go up, you know?
I'll give you a few names right now.
Hold okay.
Well, we both agree on Sean Murphy. Not enough really real track record in the MLB. I'll just touch on him real quick. Not enough real track record in the MLB. A top prospect. It's strictly upside and potential. Me and you are actually the highest on him. Everybody else had him like 11th, 16th, and 14th, which is crazy to me. I don't understand why so low on somebody with such high. Again, this just goes back to different philosophies. I guess we want the upside. I'm taking the upside every time.
Right. So I – go ahead.
I was going to say over Narvaez for sure too. Like, I don't understand. People are way too high on Narvaez. Anyway.
Right. So I have Sean Murphy actually 9th in my rank. Yeah. So I have him as a top 10 catcher. I think I might have been highest on him.
You were, and I'm at 10. So we aren't far off.
Right. So I actually see Sean Murphy as a good comp for someone like Wilson Ramos with a little bit more upside. So, you know, I'm taking a look at his track record, and he's always hit well, and he's always adjusted well to the levels. You know, he started in 2017, he hit 297 in high A. Then he got promoted that year, double A, and hit 209. But then, you know, next year, 2018, he repeats double A, and he's up to 288. Got promoted to AAA, hit 250. This last season in AAA, hit 308. So he's made those adjustments at every level, you know, and he added, you know, some power. Well, you know, everyone had power, but, you know, that is what it is. But you look at the, you know, the gains that he's made, and he's never really been a big strikeout guy. So it just seems like every season he's been able to make the adjustment to the level. And so that's why I have him here at 9, because if he can repeat, you know, if he can come into the 2020 on the major league roster as the A starting catcher, I think he could make that adjustment. And I don't think he's going to be someone who hits 25 home runs, but I think he can hit for a good average and probably give you 10 to 15 home runs. So something like a Wilson Ramos.
And I can't argue that at all. I won't try. We are on the same page. I have him ranked one spot behind you. I love Sean Murphy, and he's one of the ones I'm looking to move up above Alfaro. Him and Ramos were the two names that really stuck out to me that I'm thinking I need to make that swap. I'm probably going to. But let me give you a few names. Omar Narvaez or Travis d'Arnaud. I guess it depends on where he lands too. I think he's a free agent as well.
Yeah.
But he's another one. He's another one that made a swing change when he went to the Rays, finally stayed healthy. So health is a concern. I understand that, but the upside is way better than Arias, which we did see in spurts. So are you willing to, can we make that swap happen? Maybe.
You know what? Yeah, I'd be willing to make that swap.
All right. Let me keep pushing my luck. Francisco. And I think people want to hear us explain why we might be higher than most on Francisco Mejia, but Mejia or Narvaez?
Oh, man.
These are guys right behind him for you. That's why I'm asking.
Man, see, I think Mejia is actually a pretty good comp for Narvaez. The fact that Narvaez has that track record now of that batting average, I think I would still take Narvaez. But I do like Mejia this season.
I think Mejia is one of those, I'm taking a shot in the dark. Let's see. Again, remember how you said throwing something at the wall and hoping it sticks? That's what he is. He's just a guy at this point now. It's like you're chasing the upside. You're chasing the prospect pedigree. You're hoping he gets a full-time shot at the position, something he hasn't had yet either.
Right.
It's like, I mean, he did put up a 265 average. and 8 home runs in just 79 games. So you extrapolate basically times that times two, looking at a 16 home run guy and still probably his 260 average. That's better than Arias.
Right. And
I mean, that's what I'm expecting. I should say next year, not what he did this year, but I'm just
right. And you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm looking at his Steamer projections. They have him projected for 97 games, 14 home runs, and a 257 average. I mean, I'm kind of buying that. Like, if Steamer has him projected for 14 home runs and 257 in only 97 games, I mean, I'm hoping that he has no competition next season. And I mean, that's looking pretty good.
I'm looking at the roster. I'm pulling up the roster right now, actually. They have Austin Hedges still.
They still have Austin Hedges.
They need to stop that. They have Mejia as the starter, though. Like, they have it projected as Mejia's starter hitting in the 7-hole. Dude, they've done a youth movement there. Just leave Mejia in. See what you got in him. And if he's not there, if it's not it, then let it go, man. He was a former top prospect for a reason. Don't get me wrong. Not every prospect pans out. But to think he's going to be a bust is just really difficult for me, because it was always the hit tool that played. It was never – nobody really touted much else. Like, obviously, there was some power and stuff, I think, there. But it was always the hit tool. So
yeah, and the thing with Hedges is he's so good defensively, man. He's just – he's taking time away from Mejia with his defense.
Well, and at that point, like I said, this is just strictly upside, and this is fantasy, so I'm going to take the upside every time. But a guy like right now, it's like I want to see where Darno goes, because I was actually the high man on Darno at 12. I don't understand why. Is there a reason why I should be low on him? Did I miss something? Like, you have him at 14, so it's, again, it's within that same glob. But I'm seeing, I see somebody has him at 19, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about having him that low at 19.
I just don't know what I missed, if I missed something. Because, I mean, why would you want him – why would you want Yadier Molina over him at this point in Yadi's career? Yadi is – he's a Wilson Ramos light. Like, Molina is not good anymore offensively. It's just not who he is. He's basically just like Buster Posey, another name, which he's down in our ranks. But I wanted to circle back – oh, Murphy we talked about. Darno, Mejia, we kind of touched on. I'm just trying to make sure we touch on a lot of these names, because this is where people are going to be getting their number two catchers in two catcher leagues. Christian Vasquez, we kind of are similar. Oh, Vasquez is another one that you're, again, it's just literally we swapped a couple names here. But
right.
He's just a jag. Like, that's why it's like, I'm surprised you have Alfaro. That's the name. I'm surprised you have Alfaro behind Vasquez and Narvaez, when Alfaro at least offers a higher ceiling. Vasquez, I think, offers a higher floor than Narvaez. I'd rather have Narvaez. I think Narvaez belongs behind both those guys for you. I'm just saying. But I still have Vasquez above Narvaez. I actually have Narvaez as low as 15 on my catcher ranks. I'm by far the lowest on him. I'll probably be one of the lowest ones in the industry at this point, if, you know, Fantasy Pros would actually accept my application to put rankings up this year.
Yeah, so Narvaez and Vasquez I had back-to-back just because, I mean, I guess the seasons that they had, you know, we'll see if they're able to sustain it. I guess I see your point in thinking, you know, Alfaro, Darno, Mejia, I have those three back-to-back-to-back following Narvaez and Vasquez. So I can see that upside. I could see why you'd have the other three. I guess just the fact that Narvaez and Vasquez did it this last season, and they do have kind of a healthy track record of a good batting average. So I think that's what had me rank them above them at this point. But I got to look into it a little bit. I think that I'm going to mix these up a little bit going into, you know, as we do some more prep. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at with them.
Yeah, and that's why this is the early catcher preview. I do anticipate every position we do now, we're going to do it again come January, February, so people can really have up-to-date and ready-to-go information. So, again, it's another glob. James McCann, literally consensus. I was technically the high man because I ranked him 16th when everybody had him 17th.
So did everyone else had him 17th? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so that's crazy.
and that's because I had Yadi at 17, because I think McCann, again, goes back to upside. McCann's getting the full-time gig. Castillo's gone. McCann did really well last year, granted, with the juice ball, I'm just taking the upside. And we've seen McCann flash in the past as well, you know? It was strictly an upside play. I'm like, Molina, I get it. He's proven, but he's just like, what, 10 years older, I feel like. It's ridiculous. The age difference. And then, obviously, he was battling injury this year, I believe, at one point as well. I think McCann stayed healthy. He put up 18 bombs and only 439 at-bats. The hard hit rate was there. The exit velo was decent, you know, 67th percentile for exit velo, and hard hit rate was 76th percentile. The batting average isn't his game, but there's power there. There's upside. There's RBI potential. I think there's just more upside there. That's why it's like I've actually battled myself putting him above Vasquez and Narvaez. Like, I'm chasing upside here. I don't want safe floors. Because you know what's going to happen? There's going to be somebody who breaks out like a Dalton Varsho, who I actually really like, but he's in Double A, likely going to be in Triple A, has catcher eligibility, but won't be a catcher for the D-backs. Somebody like him is going to come off the waiver wire midseason because he's going to get the call up and have catcher availability and just blow up, and no one's going to have him ranked. And I'm name dropping him now to say, look, I name dropped him, but he's just another guy. It's just one of those things. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, I'm with you there. I've been, you know, keeping an eye on Varsho for the last few seasons, just waiting for him. If he does have that catcher eligibility, yeah, he's probably going to play more like a second base or outfield, because he's a super athletic guy. But if he has that catcher eligibility, yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that you want to scoop up right away if he's getting regular playing time with catcher.
And he looked really good in Double A last year, and I think he pretty much played a full season there. So I expect a spring training invite. I expect him to do decent. But most likely he's going to start the year in Triple A, so it's really hard to rank him this high. But he's a guy, it's like he's outside my top 30, but only because I feel like he might miss half the year. You know what I mean? So it's not because – but if I thought he was one of those only down for a month type of guys, he'd be top 20 for sure. That's why it's like I really have a hard time ranking him. But speaking of a guy who's barely in my top 20, and honestly he was barely top 20 at all in our consensus ranks, was Buster Posey. He's done, son.
Oh, man. Yeah, I have him 20th in my rankings.
As do and I.
Really, that's actually the Giants fan in me that has him at 20 at this point.
Yeah, I just felt like, again, at this point, I'm willing to take safety. I feel like there's still a very – it's a low floor. There might be a few holes in it, but there's a floor there.
But, yeah, and I mean
– Chirinos, like, I wasn't even comfortable putting Chirinos ahead of him because – you look at Chirinos' underlying numbers, and the power doesn't even seem like it can be sustained without the juice ball now, and there's a lower batting average. It's like I almost made that flip, but then I realized I don't want Buster Posey that high. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, this is a third straight year now for a decline for Posey. I don't think, you know, he's not getting any younger, and don't think he's getting any healthier. You know, he's got – a lot of time, a lot of games under, you know, at catcher. And, it's not looking very good. I wouldn't be surprised. Honestly, I would not be surprised if we see Joey Bart this summer or next summer come up and take a bunch of time away from Posey at catcher. It would not surprise me at all. So Bart might be another guy, you know, right there with Varsho in mid-season pickup that could save your season at catcher.
I completely agree. Bart was another guy. He's also like Double A guy, put in a pretty much full season there, or most of a season there, and just looked really good. Looks pretty prime to move up to Triple A and get a shot probably by, you know, at least a cup of coffee this year. But you know a guy I'm worried about? We both have him ranked, I think 18th. Yeah, we both have him ranked 18th is Danny Jensen. And I literally had up until the ranks were out, I just committed to one of them. But I had him and Reese McGuire back-to-back because they were splitting time down the stretch. I think Reese was actually getting majority of the playing time. So I'm not set on Jansen at 18 at all. I just picked him because I feel like he was the big name coming into last year, and I'm kind of rooting for him to get the job again this year. But I have zero confidence in there. I could see him outside my top 25 or 30 if him and Reese would just flip-flop, you know what I mean?
All right, so yeah, so regarding Jansen, you know, he was someone who had come into, you know, last season as a very popular sleeper pick. And, you know, I didn't realize because at that point late in the season, you kind of just check out with on someone like Jansen, who had, you know, been a massive disappointment. I didn't realize how much time and how well Reese McGuire had been playing. So I think you put that out there, and I'm like, McGuire, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I looked into Jansen. I was like, honestly, I didn't understand why everybody had Jansen so ranked so high. So that's what made me look into him. When I was like, you know what, I'll just commit to him just for now, because I honestly don't know who's the starter. So that's that's definitely something I'm watching all through spring training, waiting for an answer. You know who somebody who is a starter and none of us want him apparently is Elias Diaz for the Pirates. He should be the starter coming back next year. Somebody has him ranked top 20 actually, but other than that, all of us are fringe top 30, which is really funny. We cover our top 20. Is there anybody? I don't want to talk about every single guy. There's one guy I want to bring up a little bit about, but other than that, is there anybody that you really like at this point outside of top 20 that maybe second catcher or like a third catcher in a two catcher league that you would like recommend?
We'll see how much playing time the White Sox want to give to like Zach Collins. He's going to be someone who plays right there with James McCann. Other than that, yeah, I have no idea. I mean,
Collins is the name that stuck out to me because I think he could play first base. So if he plays first base with catcher eligibility, that could be really, really what's the word I'm looking for? Not beneficial. Something that's up, like there's profit to be made there, but very, very, that could help his stock a lot. It could really be something that helps him and make him worth drafting because of that, because his playing time will likely be there. Problem is he's a high power guy. You'll get your 20 to 25 bombs, but he might hit 200 doing it.
So yeah.
Yan Gomes, maybe? Yan Gomes is interesting. He's just he's a steady Eddie guy, whatever. Nothing special.
Right. I was actually going to bring up Gomes, both Gomes and Suzuki, just because of their situation. In leagues like, you know, that allow daily moves, daily roster changes and lineup changes, daily moves, and, you know, if you have deep enough rosters, you know, one strategy that I've employed is owning two catchers on a team and just, you know, basically plugging in whoever starts that day. So, like, you know, if you had Kurt Suzuki and Yan Gomes, you ended up with a pretty decent catcher. So, like, in some situations that maybe you could employ that kind of strategy next season would be, like, you know, Tom Murphy and Omar Narvaez. If you're in a daily league and, you know, you have the roster space for it, you plug those guys in when they're starting, and you're probably going to end up with pretty decent numbers out of your catcher position at the end of the season. Another one maybe like Josh Fegley and Sean Murphy. You know, so those are just a couple situations where if your rosters and your league allows for it, then that's not a bad strategy.
You know, you didn't rank him, and I was a little aggressive in my rank of Steven Vogt. And I understand that I'm pretty sure he's a free agent right now, so a lot of it depends on where he lands. A part of me was thinking he was still with the Giants, to be honest, when I ranked him. I thought maybe he would get some – I thought maybe he would get a chance to play catcher and let, you know, Posey get a break and play first more.
They were playing him in the outfield last season.
I don't know, really.
He probably has outfield eligibility.
That would be awesome, but I know he's a little older. He's someone I'm a little more aggressive on. And for 35 years old, he only played 99 games, but he put up 10 bombs and hit 263. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing. He's definitely a guy that I would take as a third catcher. And that's the thing. It's like you're just mining for anybody worth a damn here. I didn't even rank Mike Zunino. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't know why he's ranked. You guys need to get him off your rankings. He's terrible. He is worse than Zach Collins. I saw Zunino there. I was like, Zunino, not happening. Like, no.
yeah. You know, oh man, another guy that kind of jumps out at me, looking at these rankings is, you know, at 20, Roberto Perez.
Yeah. I was thinking that the batting average is an issue, but other than that, everything else is fine. He's probably a good value.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's tough because so like one person ranked him as high as 15. I think both you and I have him at 21. I mean, like you said, the batting average is going to be bad. I mean, he hit 239, but right now, he jumped out with.
Sorry, go ahead.
With 24 home runs, which he had never really hit for power at all before.
I think I'm ready to move him already ahead of Posey and Chirinos, to be honest. I feel like there's upside there compared to those other two.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I think we should both make that same exact move, because actually our 19, 20, 21st ranks are the same. I think we should both take Perez and move him above both of them.
Yeah. That's
I think I'll be doing.
I mean, if there's even a chance that Perez is going to hit, you know, over 20 home runs, I'd rather take that than, you know, six home runs and 260 average from Posey.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make that swap.
I'm going to look into it a little more, but right now I'm kind of, we're on the same page. So that's a perfect way to end it. But before we go, just a quick sum up your overall thoughts on catcher.
Yeah, so basically catcher, you know, we got a consensus top five, and that's really the only sure thing about catcher. But, you know, some of these guys like Murphy and Carson Kelly and Will Smith, the return of Salvador Perez, I mean, if you're in, you know, standard, you know, 12-team leagues that roster one catcher, you really, I mean, there's plenty of options out there. It's going to be as good a year of any, you know, to wait on catcher.
Yeah. And
how do you feel?
I was going to say, I'm just going to pretty much read what I wrote because it sums it up really well. Catcher as a whole is a pretty tough position to deal with annually. With so few lead options, I tend to value upside, which you clearly see in my rankings. But I need to kind of adjust some of those. This year, I initially said there was nothing fun, but there is kind of something fun and exciting about this position for once. And it's in that catcher 6 through 12 range, even 13 where I have Mejia. Like, there's upside and untapped potential and just somewhat fun names to chase in that area. And that's kind of the first time I felt this way. But maybe it's also the first time as an analyst I've actually looked this deep into catcher without listening to other people's thoughts and all that. So it's also like a little bit of doing my own homework and a little bit of just seeing value in things that most people probably just don't unless you look for it. So I'm thinking maybe it's just us growing as analysts, but that's a whole other discussion.
Right.
Ultimately, if you wait on catcher, as I typically do, just take your shot and hope it hits. Like like Jordan taking a fadeaway at the end of the game. You're just hoping you know it's going to hit. Like, that's probably a bad example. Like Shaq taking a free throw. You're going to shoot that thing, sweating bullets. 50-50 shot, man. that's a better analogy, because that's catcher is like catcher after the top five, maybe top 10 really, is like Shaq at the free throw line. It really is. And as soon as somebody gets hot off the waiver wire, add them. Don't think twice. Add them off the waiver wire and don't look back, because that could be 2020's Mitch Garver, 2020's anybody, like pick a name, Carson Kelly, Will Smith. So be aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's gonna do it. Well, guys, as always, I appreciate you listening. If you could leave us a rating or review, we greatly appreciate it. It really helps us. I believe it actually helps with like the growth of a podcast and helps make people more. I don't know how it works with iTunes. It's weird, but it helps. Definitely helps. So please drop us a 5-star rating or review. We greatly appreciate it. You know, if you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at @Mike_Kurland. That's at @JMontanez90. And the podcast itself is at @BasesLoadedPod. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. And guys, I mean, we have work constantly coming out. We're live streaming now. We're just staying busy. So stay tuned. You can find us on Twitter for all that. And we appreciate listening as always. And we'll talk to you soon.